Hey, listeners, a bipolar, a schizophrenic, and a podcast is now the Not Crazy Podcast. Same feed, different name. Hosted by Gabe Howard and Jackie Zimmerman. Search for Not Crazy or visit us at psychcentral.com/notcrazy. In the meantime, enjoy this legacy episode of BSP, and we hope you'll check out the new Not Crazy Podcast.
For reasons that utterly escape everyone involved, you're listening to a bipolar, a schizophrenic, and a podcast. Here are your hosts, Gabe Howard and Michelle Hammer.
Welcome to a bipolar, a schizophrenic, and a podcast. I'm Michelle. I have schizophrenia.
Gabe, bipolar?
Yes, Gabe is bipolar. That's right.
Listen, I am so much more.
You are so much more than just bipolar, Gabe.
That's true.
You're tall. Mm-hmm. You're lengthy.
But lengthy? What the hell is that?
Tall and lengthy and Santa and so much more. But more than that, Gabe, do you find yourself to be a caretaker at times?
I mean, isn't everybody a caretaker at times? Also, I'm married, so there are times that I caretake. I don't know why I make air quotes, like nobody can see them. But yeah, I think anybody that is in a relationship, whether it be friends, family, or romantic, does some caretaking with the people that they love.
I just wanted to bring up a situation I was in where I was with my partner.
Partner.
Could not find my hard drive where I was working so hard on that video we were working on, and I'm freaking out, and I'm completely having a panic attack. Where is it? Where is it? I'm going all over my room. The thing is, I was having a lot of trouble with my room for like 2 days, cleaning it like crazy, New York City pest control type of a deal. I've been having a lot of stress about my whole room. My clothes are in bags. So I'm in a bad mood and I'm kind of taking it out on my partner. Like, what are you doing? Why are you just throwing things around? What are you doing? Keep it neat. And they're like, I'm trying to help. And I'm like, no, you're making it more difficult. I'm just trying to help. I'm like, no, I need to find this hard drive. I have to do things. Things are going to take me hours to redo everything. And at the end, after the whole thing, I finally find it. But my partner is so upset because they're like, I want to be the person to take care of you when you're upset and I can't even do it for you. But I'm like, I didn't even understand that because I thought it was all my issue, me freaking out, and I never understood that somebody would really want to take care of me and feel like it's their responsibility to take care of me when I'm panicking, because my whole life, it was me panicking, and I was just trying to take care of myself. So having somebody else saying that they're upset because they couldn't take care of me, and then I felt like I had to apologize for not letting somebody take care of me. Do you see the conundrum I found myself in?
So what I basically hear you saying is that you freaked out and somebody wanted you not to freak out, and you're confused as to why they wanted you not to freak out.
Well, it's not that they wanted me not to freak out. It was that they couldn't help me not freak out. A caretaker wants to always try to help people feel good. A caretaker wants to improve who the person is. They don't want anyone to feel upset. They want people to feel happy. They're always trying to make other people feel good about themselves. And when they can't do it for somebody, they feel like a failure. Therefore, I had to apologize for not letting this person take care of me. I, meanwhile, was just throwing a conniption. Was it my fault for throwing a conniption? Or was it my fault for not letting my partner help me to take care of me? Like, you see, I was just in such a pickle. A pickle. I said a pickle. We're bringing it back to the old days. A pickle.
Blanche would be proud.
My whole thing is, you've been married 3 times, Gabe.
Well, thanks for bringing that up just right in the middle of nothing. I'm just saying,
because I'm sure you've been in a situation, and I know you've said before that it's you take care of your wife. That you say you support your wife. Have you ever been in the position where you're trying to support your wife, but it's just not helping?
Yeah, dude, I am a man married to a woman. Pretty much anything that I do to try to take care of her doesn't help. And I say that to be funny, but I think that sometimes people get confused by the idea that both people can be right. You're saying that you're throwing, your words, a conniption fit about something, and that you're freaked out and that you're stressed out and you're trying to get through it. So you are handling things as best as you can. Therefore, you are right. Now, your partner sees that you're throwing a conniption, you're panicked and freaked out, and they want to help you because they don't want you to suffer. They care about you. They care about you as a friend, a lover, a partner, whatever. Maybe they just care about you as a fellow human being. So they try to intercede on your behalf to make your life better. And that's a good thing. So they're right. So now we have a situation where two people who are absolutely correct now smack in the middle and the whole thing goes to shit. Because both of you are right, nobody's wrong, but you still have to navigate this together. Michelle, welcome to adulthood.
A hashtag adulting, huh?
Yeah, this is the Kobayashi Maru. It's a no-win situation.
So Gabe, I guess I'm going to therapy with you right now. Gabe, I was looking some stuff up online, and I found this that caretakers believe that they are selfish if they take care of themselves instead of caretake others. They believe that they do not deserve to take care of themselves, that they have to earn love. If they caretake is going to be taken care of, it will only be because if caretaker starts caring about their own feelings and well-being.
Oh, listen, this is you've fallen down some sort of like crazy internet rabbit hole.
I know. I was Googling.
Stop Googling. Listen, you keep saying things like caretaker. All right, this isn't a doctor. This isn't a nurse. You're not in a nursing home.
I Googled.
This person is not your caretaker. This person is your partner who happens to be trying to do some caretaking. My wife is not my caretaker. I am not my wife's caretaker. But we do, all right, magical, take care of each other. So don't mess this up. I think you're getting yourself caught in this idea that people who have mental illness need taking care of. And some people with mental illness do. And at different times in our lives, we did. But don't mess those two things up. Don't mix them together.
But do I need to apologize for not wanting help or for getting mad at the help that I'm getting because it's hurting when my partner just wants to help, and I'm saying, don't help, and then they're upset that they couldn't help.
How the fuck would I know? I wasn't there.
But I'm all in this, like bejangled, like, I don't know what to do.
Bejangled.
I'm making up words because I'm so baffled right now, and I don't understand. Michelle. I don't understand when you're dealing with two people with high anxiety. Two people with high anxiety just makes a big ball of nonsense.
All right. Let's boil this down for a moment. First off, as we've established, two people can be right, which means that two people can be wrong. In high emotional situations, when one person is freaked out, it tends to freak out the people around them. It's like the mob mentality. Things that you wouldn't do alone, you might do in a group. So chances are you sort of wagged the dog here because you were freaked out, your partner was freaked out, and then both of you were freaked out together, and that brought it to another level of freak out. The point is that the two of you got freaked out together and you sort of played off each other and just went poof. The reality is the best situation for you might have been for them to leave the room. They might have been like, all right, I'm out, and sat in the other room until you calmed down. This is a tried and true technique of Mrs. Gabe Howard. Sometimes she's just like, yep, I'm out. And she just goes in another room and reads a book or plays Bubble Blast until I wear myself out. And then I calm down and I come out and get her. To your specific question of do you owe somebody an apology, I don't understand for the life of me why people try to figure this out so hard. If it pops into your brain that you might, go apologize. Who cares? Say, hey, look, I'm sorry I freaked out. I'm sorry I made you feel bad. I'm sorry that the situation got out of hand. Talk about it later. It's not over. Just discuss. Mature people discuss things.
I'm not mature, Gabe.
You know, come on. You own like an international clothing business.
I mean, Gabe, you and me have a relationship. Like, you're telling me you have all this potential if you would just do this. But you're like always trying to take care of me. And I'm like, yeah, I'll get to it. And then you're like, oh, you're self-sabotaging. And I know I self-sabotage. So do I guess maybe I self-sabotage in other situations?
I got excited because I thought this was going to end with Gabe, I owe you an apology.
Gabe, I owe you an
but
apology.
But no, you turned it right back on yourself. Man. I'm going to call you Narcissistic Michelle for the remainder of this episode.
I love myself so much.
You do. And you're genuinely not narcissistic because you do care about the impact that you have on others. And you care about the impact that you have on your partner. Look, the best advice that I have, especially in, you know, like intimate relationships and relationships where you spend a lot of time with a person. You know, I live with my wife. So the best thing that we ever did was decide how to handle these things before they happened. We talked about these things before they happened. You know, what should I do when you're depressed? What should I do when you're panicking? What should I do when you're unhappy? How can I help you? I'd love to do a podcast on, all right, every single person with panic disorder, do the following three things with your partner and y'all will live happily ever after. But everybody's different. If I'm having a panic attack and you give me a hug, you're gonna die. But for other people, if they're having a panic attack and you give them a hug, they immediately calm down. You've got to figure out what works for you, and then your job, listen to me, Michelle, your job is to tell your partner or your mother or your friend or your coworker or whomever you're spending a lot of time with what you want and expect from them. And even then, sometimes you're going to screw it up. And they're going to do what you ask and you're not going to like it. So they need to understand that for whatever reason, they chose to be in a relationship with a crazy girl.
Hey.
I tell this to my wife all the time. You chose to be in a relationship with me and I'm a little bit weird. And she's accepted this. But to your question of whether or not you should apologize, yes, just always apologize. Just every morning when you wake up, just roll over and be like, hey, I'm sorry. The best advice my grandfather ever gave me that I did not follow in my first two marriages was happy wife, happy life. But show appreciation. I appreciate Kendall.
Me, what about me and you? You're always saying that I self-sabotage.
Oh, Michelle, I'm married.
I know, but I'm saying me and you as a working relationship.
I was just kidding about you being the fifth wife. I'm sorry, this is awkward.
Once you get to Demi Lovato and she gets out of rehab and you marry Demi...
No, Demi Lovato got bumped off the list. She's no longer four.
She's seven? Moving on.
Hold that thought, Michelle. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsor.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp.com. Secure, convenient, and affordable online counseling. All counselors are licensed, accredited professionals. Anything you share is confidential. Schedule secure video or phone sessions, plus chat and text with your therapist whenever you feel it's needed. A month of online therapy often costs less than a single traditional face-to-face session. Go to BetterHelp.com/PsychCentral and experience 7 days of free therapy to see if online counseling is right for you. BetterHelp.com/PsychCentral.
And we're back. Michelle, you were saying?
You're constantly telling me that I self-sabotage.
I'm not constantly telling you that you self-sabotage. I'm constantly pointing out that you self-sabotage. There's a difference.
So in a sense, you are taking care of me in some way.
I take care of everybody.
Right, but then I feel like, do I not, I apologize to you when I do that. And then I try to get things done, but you have called me and you've gotten angry at me. You say, I see all this potential in you, blah, 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 blah. And then I say, I'm so sorry.
Well, apologies have to have actions behind them. Don't wander around saying I'm sorry. The best apology is changed behavior. You know, our working relationship is unique. It's unique for a number of reasons. One, we have created something that it cannot be defined by anybody but Gabe and Michelle. This is going to lead to conflict. I mean, we're basically raising a child together.
What's the name of our child?
A bipolar, a schizophrenic, and a podcast.
What? Oh, that's such a cute name. Why?
I know, it really is. We should come up with a nickname.
Person first language?
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize.
Oh, God.
This is a show living with bipolar, a show living with schizophrenia, and a portable electronic medium that you can carry in your pocket and listen to at your convenience.
I hope that fits on a driver's license. Will that fit on the driver's license?
I don't know that we'll be doing this in 16 years, so it might not matter. Oh. But anybody who's in that type of creative endeavor with another person opens himself up to conflict. We're going to see things differently. You know, for example, when we first started the show, I wasn't sure that I wanted foul language on the show. I thought that we might want to keep it, you know, PG and not swear. You were like, look, I say fuck, ass, and shit all the time. I don't know that I'm going to be able to tone it down. That worked itself out because we talk about, you know, the real life with mental illness, you know, naturally topics like alcoholism, drug use, hypersexuality, and mistakes we've made in the past. iTunes solved that one for us by saying, look, if you're going to talk about drug abuse, you have to have a mature rating. Well, once we had to have a mature rating for that, well, fuck it, we might as well swear. So that's how that one resolved itself. But there's still other things on our back burner that we're still fighting over. And we will continue to do so because we're both passionate about the show. The thing that I get mad at you for is, why don't you follow me around and correct all my mistakes? You just wait until they go public and let me get embarrassed.
I don't wait until they go public and let you get embarrassed. I redid your whole website because your website looked like a piece of crap, did it not? I redid your website. I redid your business card. I made you a sticker. I fancied up your website because it looked like a piece of shit.
Did I have to pay you for that?
A little bit, but not as much as I would charge other people.
That's true. That's true. I'm just giving you shit. You did. You're right. And this is why we support each other. But you're very hung up on this word caretaker. And I'm not sure why.
I don't, because I feel like I've always been taken care of by people. And now I'm like, #adulting. And I'm like, why do I still feel like I have the mentality of an 18-year-old and I can't take care of myself even though 18 is an adult too? I feel like I can't take care of myself. I'm always just messing something up. I always have to apologize. I feel like I'm not even an adult.
Why do you feel that way?
I don't know. I feel like I'm always making mistakes. You tell me I self-sabotage. My partner's getting mad at me because I'm flipping out. I'm panicking. I can't find my hard drive. I can't find my keys. I can't find my sunglasses. Can't find my phone. What's going on here? Everyone's just always yelling at me. I've already, like, deadlines due to this, deadlines to this, deadlines to this, 8 million emails to respond to, and I'm just a big clusterfuck of nonsense, and I've never been able to keep a job. I'm going through a crisis here, Gabe.
You know why I'm laughing right now? And I'm trying desperately not to laugh at you because you just look so sincere. But your mother is listening to this podcast going, yes, yes, she grew up. Oh, my God, we did it. She's calling your dad. She's like, Jeffrey, come here, come here. Our daughter cares. Finally, at 51 years old, she has grown up.
51.
All right, we'll knock you back down to your correct age. I think I have often said, Michelle, that I don't feel my age. I don't feel 41. And one of the reasons I feel that I don't feel 41 is because I spent so much time managing mental illness that there were just some things that I think other people go through in their early 20s. And I didn't go through those things until my early 30s because I wasted so much time either being sick or getting help to get well. So I just lost 10 years due to bipolar disorder. Is it possible that you lost a lot of time due to managing schizophrenia? Because the average adult goes through these feelings at like 21 years old, 20 years old, 22, when they get out of college. You're going through them now. Is it possible that the reason you're going through them now is because, you know, when you were 22, you had schizophrenia to worry about, whereas the average person doesn't?
That's true. And I guess also with dating, I mean, it was delayed a lot because, I mean, to quote the late, great Whitney Houston, learning to love yourself is the greatest love of all. So without loving myself, how could I give love to anybody else? So I think I was very delayed on that because I had to really accept myself of who I was and how I am schizophrenic, and I had to be comfortable and confident within myself before I could really be in a relationship with somebody else. So I never really learned how to develop one in a really most beneficial, you know, the best way possible. So it's like I don't know how to deal with these, like, fights or panics, and also dealing with the other person's panics as well. I mean, I just don't know. I feel like I need a guidebook, but if I go to the self-help section at Borders or whatever, Barnes & Noble, whatever bookstore, it's just going to be like, men are from Mars, women are from Venus, this book is this book, this book is this book, this book is this book, and I'm not going to get anywhere because I don't even read books, so I'll just Google it.
Did you just say this book is this book, this book is this book, this book is this book?
Do you realize, do you realize that my brain right now is so confused because I don't even know, apparently I can't take care of myself and I can't let other people take care of me. I'm in the middle here going, what's wrong with me?
Here's what's fascinating. In the middle is where you want to be. The reality is nobody can entirely take care of themselves. I would like to think that everything that I have earned have been because of Gabe Howard and Gabe Howard alone's hard work. But that's just a straight up lie. My parents helped me. My grandparents helped me. My friends helped me. People I met along the way helped me. Strangers helped me. Volunteers helped me. Support groups helped me. There is nothing that I have that somebody didn't help me with. Now, I had to do the lion's share of a lot of things. You know, recovery from bipolar, that was a lot of Gabe. There was a lot of Gabe. I had to take those pills. I had to go to the therapy appointments. I had to be honest. I had to keep the mood journal. I had to show up on time. I had to manage my expectations and the expectations of people around me. I had to educate my family. I did all of those things, but here's what my family did. My family took all those classes. My family let me educate them and took what I had to say to heart. And because of that, and many other things that I won't bore everybody with, we work well together. So you keep saying that I say that you self-sabotage. One, that's bullshit. You know you self-sabotage, and you told me that you self-sabotage, and I agreed with you because it's just... I don't think that's because you're schizophrenic, by the way.
I think it's anxiety.
I think it might be anxiety, but more than anything, I think it's fear of success. See, if you're successful, then you could lose it, and that would hurt. And if you try really, really hard and you fail, then that means you gave it 100% and you failed, and that would hurt. If you don't try and you're never successful, you block yourself off from all of that pain.
All I gotta do is remember playing Geneseo in my sophomore year.
I have no idea what any of those words mean.
Lacrosse team, Geneseo.
I knew lacrosse would come into this.
13-13, a minute and a half left. The third man position, Mac, she blew out her knee, and I was playing her position. And I was not as good as Mac. It was one of my first games I ever started. 2 minutes left, 13-13. Draw control goes up. It gets into my stick. I run down the field. I give it to Erica. She takes a shot from the top left corner, goes in. 45 seconds left. We get the ball. We won. We won in the last 2 minutes because I got that draw control. And that's what I have to remember. Confidence, confidence. Remember what I can do if I put my head to it and do it. Always remember, Geneseo, if you put in the work, the outcome will be good.
I have no idea what Geneseo is.
It's a college.
The college that you beat in lacrosse.
Yes.
I would point out a couple of things. One, you kept your head in the game and you didn't give up, and that gave you the best odds to win. But two, you were also prepared. You went to all of the practices. You learned how to be a good lacrosse player. You didn't skip out on sit-ups. You didn't eat a Big Mac for breakfast that morning. You did all of the right things to give yourself the best odds. You know, look, you can do all the right things and fail. I don't know if our podcast is going to continue to be successful. I know that it continued to grow. I know that people like what we have to say. I know that we keep hammering home topics. We keep working hard and we keep being vulnerable and honest, and people have responded to that. But maybe tomorrow they're going to think to themselves, you know what? These two idiots need to turn off their mics and get jobs. I hope not.
I hope not either.
But we don't know.
Please don't stop listening to us, guys. Please. I really want you to just keep listening because I need some feedback from the listeners on this topic. If you could give me some feedback from your perspective.
So hit Michelle up at info@schizophrenic.nyc.
Tell me what you would do if you were panicking, someone tries to help you, and you just flip out on them anyway. But then you got to apologize. Who's right? Who's wrong? What do you do? Help me, adult. Just help me, adult.
And remember, if you flip out on anybody, you owe them an apology.
But you're right. You're right. You're right. But okay, Gabe, what does somebody have to do and when you're like, I'm done with you. This is it. We're over. I'm done. I'm sick of it. This is just the done. You've done the worst. I am over it. I can't take it anymore. I mean, you've been married 3 times. That means 2 didn't work out.
Are you asking me how to break up with your partner?
No, I'm not asking you how to break up.
Don't do it on a podcast. It's terrible.
I don't want to break up with anybody. I'm just wondering, when do you actually decide when it's not good?
I'm pretty sure the guy with untreated bipolar disorder was probably at fault.
Okay. So it was your fault then. What do you think were thinking? Like, I just can't handle him anymore? Because I don't want to be that person where they're like, I just can't handle her anymore. She's just way too nuts. She flips out all the time. She yells. She does all this.
Michelle,
which I don't
listen,
do all the time. I only do it sometimes, but I don't want to be that person.
None of this matters. This is irrelevant. I think that you're borrowing trouble here. If you are your authentic self and you do the best that you can and you have honest conversations with somebody and they decide that they can't handle you, that they don't want to be with you, I understand that that will hurt in the moment, but this is a good thing because that person is going to free you up to meet the person who is the right person. I wasted so much time because I was afraid to be alone. That's not some insult to my ex-wives or ex-girlfriends. It's just I was so afraid of being alone, I overlooked glaring, glaring deficiencies in our relationship. And if I would have stayed in those relationships, both of us would have been miserable forever. But, you know, thankfully, we got our shit together. We figured out that we didn't belong together. And as you know, with my second wife, we realized that we were not a good married couple. But we are exceptional friends.
I like that.
She is my best friend in the whole world. And there's nothing that is a better statement than she was a shitty wife and a great friend. And there is no more of a true statement than I was a shitty husband, but I'm a good friend. And because we had open and honest communication and because we realized that we both made the mistake together, we salvaged a friendship out of a divorce. And we don't have kids, so that is incredibly rare. But
yeah,
it opened me up and made me available to meet a good wife. And for me to have the life that I wanted and the partnership that I wanted. But listen, I cried for a week when that marriage ended. A week. I sat in my pod, which is what I called my apartment, and I just cried at what a failure I was. 2 marriages were over. I was so worthless. So worthless.
So when you met Kendall, did it just shine a whole light on top of you? Like, you were like, wow, I want to be with somebody again. This girl makes me feel so great. Like, was it just like a whole new light? Like you just felt so much better that somebody wanted to be with you again, or you loved somebody again?
The truth of the matter is when I first met Kendall, I thought she was boring.
I thought she
was incredibly boring. No, she knows this. This isn't a surprise. I thought that she was incredibly boring. My last relationships had all this drama. And I mistook that drama and excitement for love, or I don't know. I mistook it for something. But drama in relationships isn't good. Yeah, Kendall and I's relationship is boring. She comes home at the same time every day. When I call her, she answers. When she makes me a promise, she keeps it. When we say we're going to have dinner together, we have dinner together. When we make plans, we keep them. I can count on her. She's reliable. She loves me. I love her. Oh my God, nobody should make a movie about Gabe and Kendall. It would basically just have us getting up, going to work, coming home, taking dinner, cleaning the house, I don't know, watching TV, falling asleep, and living happily ever after. That is the worst movie ever.
Aww.
But it's the best relationship ever.
It's like the ending of a rom-com.
No, it's not the ending of a rom-com. The ending of a rom-com is that the man wore the woman down and gave her like Stockholm syndrome after he gaslit her for an entire movie. Romantic comedies are awful. It's basically a woman constantly saying no and a man refusing to accept her no. Romantic comedies are awful.
I just watched How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. They fell in love in the end. They fell in love in the end.
I don't know what's going on with you and your Netflix account, but listen to me. If you want to have a good relationship, after the new relationship energy ends, because it's always exciting for a couple of months because you're learning everything, it should be boring. And boring is good.
Boring is good.
Boring is good.
Thank you for listening to A Bipolar, A Schizophrenic, and a Podcast. Do you love us and want to see the show continue? Leave us a rating and a review on your favorite podcast player, and for the love of God, share us on social media!
And after you review us, send a screenshot to the email address show@psychcentral.com, and we will enter you into a drawing to win very cool stickers. We'll see y'all next week!
It's a girl, bitch!
You've been listening to A Bipolar, A Schizophrenic, and a Podcast. If you love this episode, don't keep it to yourself. Head over to iTunes or your preferred podcast app to subscribe, rate, and review. To work with Gabe, go to GabeHoward.com. To work with Michelle, go to Schizophrenic.nyc. For free mental health resources and online support groups, head over to PsychCentral.com. The show's official website is PsychCentral.com/BSP. You can email us at show@PsychCentral.com. Thank you for listening, and share widely.